if I'm going to wear a tie, I might as well wear no pants, right? Welcome. I'm Halcyon, and this is Hug Nation. Today, I've got a bunch of things that I want to talk about. And one of the things I want to talk about is going to Nick's memorial this weekend, but I'm going to save that for later in case it gets me weepy, so that I can at least have a portion of this video where my eyes are not puffy and red. You know, who knows? Maybe, who knows? But occasionally, I have been known to emote in dramatic ways. So instead, I'll skip to hyenas. No, I'm sorry, hernias. You may have seen a Facebook Live I did last week when I, right after working out, ran and instead of calling a doctor or a nurse or an ambulance or checking WebMD, I turned on Facebook Live and started complaining about the bulge and pain in my abdomen. And I learned a few things from this process. This is not the first time I have come online and looked for medical advice. It's actually kind of a hobby of mine. Because it is so interesting the way people diagnose through the internet. Obviously, it's really a beautiful illustration of how all of us perceive the world through our filters. If you, for example, once had a surgery because of your hamstrings, then anytime someone has a leg issue, you're like, it's probably hamstrings. If you, when you were a little kid, had a cockroach crawl in your ear, then anytime somebody says anything about balance or ailments of any sort, you're like, it's probably a cockroach in your ear. In fact, a lot of people don't even say it's probably, they say, what you've got is a cockroach in your ear. You need to go straight to the doctor. You need to go straight to emergency room. And I so appreciate everyone's perspectives, but it's fascinating. If you get enough responses, you will have incredibly competing advice, you know? Put pressure on it. Don't put pressure on it. Use heat. Use cold. Elevate. Submerge. You know, it's a kind of a beautiful illustration of how our perceptions affect our reality and how our experiences affect the way we see the world. So this one was a little different because I was pretty sure from the get-go that this was a hernia. And as I was asking for advice, there were a lot of people that gave me, you know, other diagnoses and a lot of people that said, get to the hospital. But the wonderful thing that I did receive from this experience was that there were people who had multiple hernia experiences. And so as people were sharing their experiences, I was able to get a much better sense of the severity of what was going on, the need to see medical advice, And I was able to actually relax and go, oh, okay, I can probably wait until Monday to talk to a doctor. And in fact, I was talking with someone online and they said, well, if you can push it and you can go back in, that's a hernia. And I was like, thunk. Hey, it went back in. Yay, this is just like going to a doctor, except using Messenger. So, with that being said, I've decided to do my own surgery. I'm going to use YouTube and just do some tutorials, sharpen up one of my steak knives. I mean, really, I'm emboldened with the medical experiences that I've now had through my Facebook Live diagnosis. Again, not a diagnosis, but it was the experiences that were helpful. And I think that it all goes together. Like, knowing other people's experiences and allowing yourself to kind of feel the breadth of experiences that people have, and then filter it through your own experience, is really the grand gift of the multiple perspectives of the internet. Anytime you take one person and go, oh my gosh, that's absolute, then that's when you get the oppositional logic, you know? Whether it's microwaves will destroy your home, or, well, there's a lot of issues where people get very aggressive on both sides. Luckily, hernias is not so divisive. So, I actually went to the doctor today. The doctor poked me. She was amazing. I totally loved this new doctor because they had to get me in quickly. And I have a hernia, 98% sure. Go to see a specialist tomorrow morning and then decide if I want to have surgery. So yes, I may let a professional do the surgery, but only if I can't find a good YouTube tutorial. So thank you, everybody, who gave me care and advice and perspectives and love, because love and laughter heal most things, don't they? Maybe not hernias, but in fact, maybe laughter is very bad for hernia. Turn your head and laugh. I'm Halcyon. Welcome to Hug Nation. And today I want to talk about coming out of the closet. The upcoming show that I'm doing on May 27th is about a chapter in my life that ended about 10 years ago. And it was a time in my life when I was dabbling in web experiments and making my sexuality public. And the process of revisiting that time in my life, as I'm preparing for it, has been really profound for a lot of reasons. I'm remembering and rereading things that I wrote, manifestos I wrote, reading the actual blog posts and thought process that led me to make these decisions that were on perhaps courageous, perhaps stupid, but certainly revealing and controversial. And so as I'm reading my thoughts at the time, I'm reminded of how much thought and how much philosophical intention there was behind things I was doing. And I'm finding myself super energized. And I'm finding myself remembering why I was called to be a sex activist of some sort. And I remember how at the time, although so many people were advising me against this continual revealing, that I felt called to. I felt like this is the thing that I was supposed to be working on and supposed to be putting my efforts towards or putting risk towards. This is the warrior battle that I was being called to, was that of sexual shame. And I'm finding that as I'm revisiting this and as I'm preparing for the show, I'm getting like energized. And I mean, one part of it is because it's I'm doing a live show and that's exciting and energizing. But also I think what's happening is that I'm returning to a part of my truth and I'm kind of reopening the door to a part of myself that is absolutely my core. And so it's almost like I'm coming out of the closet again, re-emerging from the closet about my truth. And that there is a part of me that is called to be a warrior in this realm. And so as I am returning to the battlefield and returning to my purpose, the energy is returning. It's like when you have something that gets you excited, that is your joy. And as I'm having this happen to me, I'm like, oh my gosh, like this is almost like a visceral sensation that is like a biological indicator of me being in my purpose. Of course, when you're dealing with sexuality, there's all sorts of biological indicators, so maybe I'm just turned on. But maybe not. Maybe I have been out of alignment in some degree, and maybe I have slipped back into the very thing that I was trying to combat and I was trying to fight. I don't know why I'm using so much like aggressive terms. I think because I had to at the time, and I think I have to now, because there will be opposition and there has been opposition. As I have brought this up and people realize, oh wait, what is this show about? There are people that have been somewhat judgmental or they have challenges seeing how I could be involved with this realm that is dirty or dark or perverted or crass. And maybe it's the unknown, but I feel this, like if this is what humans feel when they're in their purpose, I feel like super excited, like, oh, this has been missing. I've been trying to figure out what I should do, and I feel now that I'm being called. And it's like, yes! Now, of course, there are consequences to this, which is kind of what makes it art. This expression will have consequences. This expression But I, as people have been trying to advise me and share, like, well, is it better to keep your options open that are not right for you, or better to get dial in to what is perfect for you? So maybe this, everything has been leading to here. Maybe everything has been waiting for me to return to this focus on sexuality and our truth. I mean, the reason why I was doing this then, the reason why I'm returning to it now, one, the stories are hilarious, but two, people are sexual beings, and very few people are 100% vanilla in their sexuality. So most people live their entire lives with a mask of some sort. There's a part of who they are that is always being intentionally suppressed. And when you think about an entire culture, entire world that is operating with a universal level of inauthenticity and shame, that manifests in so many dangerous and scary ways. So I'm getting energized thinking about it. Like, all right, this is time, this is my time to suit up. This is my time to be brave and listen to my heart and my loins. So I hope you can make it to the live show. And if not, I hope you can be supportive of me in the journey in this direction. But honestly, if it doesn't resonate with you, or we are no longer in alignment, that's okay too. That's okay too. Because art that appeals to everyone, there's no joy in that. There's no power in that. There's no world changing in that. That's decorative plates. That's, yeah. So I'm as I am getting ready to celebrate my birthday next week and begin the second half of my life, I feel this rebirth happening. So what a perfect time to wear a birthday suit. So thank you so much for all the support so far, and for all those who've been searching online trying to find dirty pictures of me. Not so easy, is it? So thank you for the support, and I hope you can make it to the show. And if you want to send me nude photos as a show of solidarity, I support that too. Thank you. I love you. Oh boy. Yes, I am a Gemini. My birthday is actually May 28th. The show is on the 27th. May 28th. My brother's birthday is tomorrow. We're both Geminis. Coo-coo! Let's do this. Let's have the hug, and then I will talk a little bit about the experience with Nick's memorial. Okay, let's do that. You good for that? Da-da-da-da-da-da. All right, wherever you are. And remember, this is a double hug because I forgot it last week. So grab yourself by the shoulders. Have a moment of appreciation for this body, this incredible miracle machine that converts food into energy, that processes the light and stimulus of the world and allows you to make sense of all the floral and fauna and people and thoughts and music. What a gift to just be a physical being with the ability to perceive. But beneath this physical surface, this physical being, is our realm of thought and emotion. And those thoughts are what make it fun. It's what gives you the drama and sometimes the sorrow and the joy. And it's based on your perceptions and your experiences. And it sometimes can make you feel that you're at odds with other people who think about things differently. But this is just another layer. It's just a level. It's not who you are. It's fun to put on a jersey and think you're on one team and somebody's on the other team. That's what gives it drama. But it's just for fun. Beneath that is who you truly are. the energy that flows through all people.
Woo.
Ding! That energy flowing through us. So let's just take a moment now and be that energy. Let's allow that love and light to shine through us, not as our physical selves, not as our thoughts and jerseys and teams, but just as a part of the one. For three breaths, in through the nose, on behalf of Grandpa Caleb and all the love warriors, happy Hug Nation. I love you. I love you. Thank you, everyone who is here live. Thank you, everyone who is watching the YouTube broadcast. Thank you, everyone who is listening to the podcast, the audio only. I'm now going to do a secret hand sign that the audio listeners will not be able to see. Just kidding. I didn't do anything. Thank you for being here for the hug. And so now I want to... Before we get too casual, before I take off my coat jacket, I mean, I am wearing just neon pink underwear, so it's a little casual, but I am wearing suit and tie other than that. I wanted to share a little bit about my experience at Nick's Memorial. And I'll be honest that I was very hesitant. I kind of felt like I had cried as much as I needed to, and I'd kind of processed so much. And the idea of revisiting that place, revisiting the grief, was not something that I was looking forward to. And in fact, I was even wondering, like, am I going to feel weird when everybody else is doing grieving, and I've kind of already processed it? yeah, that's not exactly how it went down. But even as I was showing up, I was nervous because I had heard through a number of people that a lot of people who were at the service watched the videos that I made about Nick the day that I heard, and the grieving and the tears and the, you know, I said a lot of stuff, and I don't even know exactly what I said, but I know that I was pretty raw, and it wasn't the kind of things that I intended to say to his family. And I was very concerned that I had said things that were insensitive, or, you know, I talked about doing drugs with him. I talked about our depressions. I don't know if that's the kind of thing that a family would want publicly out there. And in fact, I'd heard from one person at least that they disapproved of what I had said. But I'd heard from a number of other people who were very that it was healing for them. And I felt kind of embarrassed, and I felt crass, and I felt like, I hope these people don't, I don't know. I just was like, I felt like I didn't want anyone to think that I was, you know, taking this death and making it into content for my YouTube channel, you know, if they didn't know me and what I was about. And you know, whereas I felt like this is part of my service, is in trying to share the journey and be as transparent as I can, and trying to feel as a cathartic tool for others sometimes. And luckily, everyone that I spoke to who had seen it was grateful, and some profoundly so. Apparently, Nick was very good at keeping his name off the internet. There's only a few links to his name, and the video that I just made about him on YouTube was one that came up. So as family members and friends were trying to, you know, find pictures or seek out the very little things online about him, a lot of them, you know, saw this pink-haired guy bawling, crying, and talking about crazy Burning Man adventures. So luckily, that my anxiety about that was not a problem. I mean, it was unfounded. And the most wonderful part of it for me was there's a slideshow that they played that started, first they played a Smashing Pumpkins song, was in the background, which used to be my favorite band. And it started with pictures of him as a baby, like in the hospital. And his family and his sister and this just like, and over the course of the song, you're just getting this like, you mean like, I know intellectually Nick had family. Obviously he had a mom, dad, step parents. But seeing it on the screen and seeing all of these people that were not burners that filled the church, standing room only in the aisles, and knowing that he had this, he had so much of his life were things that I had no, I just didn't know. I mean, and that's true with everybody, but it was really a good reminder to see, you know, this family life, this friendship life, this Boy Scout life, the stories of when he was young and saved these two boys' lives. There was one of the women that was the most profoundly grateful for the video that I did, a woman came up to me and she was crying and saying, thank you, it helped me so much. She said, my son was one of the boys that Nick saved the life of when Nick was a teen. And my son is here, you know. And then his grandfather spoke and talked again about that story of when he was a young boy and swam out and saved two boys' lives and received some honor that is like never been given to a non like to a civilian from the Coast Guard. And then his dad shared that, you know, he's a saver of lives, and then shared that that at least two lives already have been saved by his organ donor, his organ donations. And as the slideshow was happening, I started crying so hard. But it was a really strange experience because I was trying to, like, I knew I was there for the family, you know? I mean, yes, for me, but later we had a thing for us. We had the Fire Garden gathering, and this was to show support, the family, and as I'm sitting there and just, like, tears are starting to flow, and I'm starting to, like, at first I was just weeping, and then I was, like, white-knuckling, holding it, like, no, I couldn't hear anybody else crying, you know? And so I was like, I don't know if this is right or wrong. Like, I don't know. And maybe this is something I need to work through. Like, I didn't want to do the wrong thing. I didn't want to make the parents and the family's experience any worse or more painful, or make people lose it. And so I just sat there and just like tensing my whole face, like so, like, and just like tried to like blot my tears and wipe the snot as I could. Because man, seeing the parents and the grandparents and his sister was, it reminded me that although I have processed a lot and I feel like I'm at peace, I still miss him. And I have these moments where I'll have a twinge of like, have I helped Nick get out of some jam? Oh, no. The reason he's in my mind is because, yes, something major happened with Nick lately, but it's not something we can fix. And in seeing the grief and seeing the family that were so much closer, the grief really was powerful. But it's another thing that I'm so grateful for the Burning Man experience and the temple experiences is how, like, if this was my thing, I would be wailing and I would be bawling because I actually really, that maybe not enjoy is the right word, but I feel alive in that place of abandon, in that place of feeling intensely. And it's almost like a flow state, You know, like it's so intense, and I'm not, my hands are off the wheel, and I'm just like floating in this cosmic emotional tornado. So it was beautiful, and it was really nice. They had an opening and a closing by the minister, just a few minutes, which was very much not my style, and I don't think Nick's style. But everything else, it was led by his lifelong friend and a mentor who just told these great stories and just had so much love and kind of really embraced all parts of Nick. In fact, he started by saying, you know, I keep thinking of the line, when the going gets weird, the weird turn pro, which is a Hunter S. Thompson line. And I think Nick would have liked that that was said at his funeral very much. And then we got to, that finished up, there was a little reception, and then we went to the Fire Garden, which is the location, beautiful event location that Nick very much enjoyed going to dance parties there and gatherings there. And that's where I met him, and it's where when he first kind of started talking about Burning Man and how much he wanted to be a part of Pink Heart. And it was really cool as I got to talk to family and people that were not burners, but they explained to me why it made so much sense. Like, Nick was someone who was an Eagle Scout, and he was someone who liked to help people. You know, like, so I can't remember the word. Someone said it was like forceful service or something. Like, you know, he would like knock you down to help you, whether you liked it or not. But he's just someone who really wanted to help and be of service, whether you like it or not. And so to hear these other parts of his life and how the reason why he was so drawn to Pink Heart, it made the story more, not the story, but you know, it made all of these pieces fit together and made me feel more proud about the life that we did get to overlap with, and the way that my life interacted with his. And another highlight of it, I got to meet his mom, who was just such an amazing woman. She's I think a pastor at a very groovy church, and she's like a medium, and she's just so groovy and awesome. And if you saw online, we were doing a fundraiser to try to. There's certain hard costs involved with throwing these events and things, and so we were trying to raise money so that we didn't have to even talk to the parents and say, hey, you know, we just didn't even want to bother them at all. Like, we're the fundraiser, and I know a lot of people here have contributed, and so we were able to pay off, and we got a bunch of people gave great deals on things, and so in the end, I was able to give his mom a check saying, hey, we collected some money to help with some of the extra expenses, and it was a check for $1,000. And she was so moved, and it was kind of like, I felt like it was literally the least we could do. But there's something about it that just, it another energetic form of love that we were able to give to her. She was so great, man. So when I met his father, it was a little awkward, understandably so. You know, I felt like, what a nightmare scenario, having like a greeting line and trying to have conversations with all these people. So I talked to the father at the reception and then waited to talk to the mom at the Fire Garden. And when I got to talk to her, and she was talking about parts of, you know, how Burning Man meant to him, and she was like, oh my gosh, I so wanted to meet you. He talked about you, and then I was trying to share some stories that would, tell her how much he affected my life, and I was just trying to say some words that would say something right, And I started kind of wavering like this. And she just said, there's nothing to say. And she grabbed me. And I was like, you know, all I wanted to do was, you know, help her. And, but she was there for me. And I kind of made, and it kind of made sense. Some of the things about Nick, I could see coming from a woman with that kind of heart. Well, I guess I was wrong. I did not cry. I thought I might cry talking about it, but apparently I'm like a stone. I'm like a statue. One thing that I wanted to just respond to, I wrote, the day was hard, you know, and it was intense, and a lot of people reached out to me, which I really appreciated, but a lot of people reached out to me with concern, and I think were worried that I was down and depressed, but I want to make sure that people know that I'm not, you know, I was grieving, and I have sadness, but I don't feel bad. You know, I don't feel distraught. I don't feel lost. I feel alive, and I feel grateful for Nick. I feel grateful for who he was in my life, and I feel grateful for his impact on my life through his death. Like, I feel like I got a smack in the face. I feel like Like, I can hear his voice kind of saying, like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, okay, all right, right. I can't, no more bullshitting. Like, that's fucking, sorry, yeah. Like, okay, I'm here. I'm alive. I got a lot to do. Thanks, Nick. I'd forgotten that. So, I feel great right now. That could change at any moment. But, it was a really beautiful ceremony. It was a beautiful service. There was a lot of beautiful people. And it was nice to connect with so many Pink Heart people and, people that, you know, drove very far to share this, to share hugs and stories and incredible, incredible appreciation and gratitude for Heather, who did so much organizing and was the liaison with the family. And just, I can't really even comprehend how much she took on to make it as easy as possible for everyone. So thank you, Heather. Thank you, Pink Heart. Thank you, Nick's family. Thank you, Nick. Thank you. I love you.